We have returned, and we're talking with our featured guest, Jean-Claude Coven. The book is Going Deeper, How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. And if you want to find out more about the book before even going to your bookstore or Amazon.com, you can go to that website, which is goingdeeper.org. A lot of information, including the article, Breaking the Illusions Web, which Jean-Claude was talking about before we took a break. And I'm going to pick up at that point and shift gears a little bit. I think we've really set a context for all the background material, what's going on with the planet and the Earth and Earth changes and your personal life, not unlike many of us being, we never did get to winkers and wankers. That was the, that was the other thing. But, you know, I know, maybe just finish that, because I asked, you know, about you walking around noticing winkers and wankers and who they are.
What I found out in playing the illusion in this density is that there's only three things in life worth taking seriously. And for the life of me, I have no idea of what they are. I never want to find out what they are, and I certainly don't want me to be one of them. And what I found out is that there are other people who are aware of this, who don't take themselves or other people or situations very seriously. They see what happens, they see the pain and the suffering. They're aware of all the crazy things that happen within this illusion. And they don't fall into the mire of hope, which to me is totally hopeless. But they actually do something about it by shifting the energies of this planet that will change everything about what goes on. These are the winkers, the people who take nothing seriously. The people who take themselves and their own personal drama and all the things that go on around the planet, all of our wars, all of the ways that we desecrate each other and dominate each other, all of our reptilian activity to survive at the expense of everyone else, and take that seriously, those are the wankers. And I find myself getting caught in my own personal drama and realize that I'm very much a wanker too.
Yeah. So we take on different roles at different times.
Of course.
And that's being awake and being a jerk.
Being a jerk and watching yourself be a jerk.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of how to do these exercises. You don't change anything about yourself. You simply become aware of your own personal patterns. Mm-hmm. You don't attempt to change anything. I'm not a big fan of affirmations. Mm-hmm. I think they're refrigerator art.
Yeah.
But I am a big fan of awareness.
Yeah.
The more you become aware of your own patterning, you just watch the patterning change. You don't do anything from the level of the patterning. But Einstein said it best. Mm-hmm. He said that no problem can be solved at the level at which it was created. Mm-hmm. So the trick is, how do you shift your awareness to a higher perspective when all of the stuff that you think you're mired in becomes trivial irrelevance? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up affirmations, and that was a big thing in some of the early books in the rebirthing community that were written. I'm not saying they were created in that genre, you know, of the rebirthers, but affirmations, maybe they're older than that coming to surface. But what I remember is doing them, and doing them for a while, and pasting them on the mirror, you know.
Me too.
And you did it. So what you have to do is try it. And what you find out is, well, I don't know whether they're working. And what happens after a while? You stop doing it. You go to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, so, because the person that's doing the affirmation is the same part of your being that perceives itself stuck in the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You cannot put a piece of string or a piece of rope under your shoes, pull as hard as you want, expect yourself to rise up.
Yeah.
You have to go to a higher perspective and then pull from there.
Yeah. And that's what the breathing did too, you know, that energetic breathing.
The energetic breathing is phenomenal, especially if you move into holotropic breathing, mm-hmm. which uses the collective energy of the group and a very carefully orchestrated music. Mm-hmm. You can have some extraordinary experiences provided you have a facilitator that doesn't attempt to analyze stuff and push you back into a box that's acceptable. You can have some extraordinary experiences there in the right circumstances.
Yeah. Now, let's, you know, like I said, we got this context together.
Yeah.
Let's look at going deeper. Why did you decide to do the fictional story with talking animals, trees and rocks, and a character who many of us readers will partially identify with, Larry. He's the main character. I'm sure part of your life is in Larry, and his dog Zeus, you know, which it's interesting that that's the way you chose to present the story. So tell me why.
I didn't.
All right, you're off the hook.
When I sat down with Jack Bernard that morning to write my little manifesto on a napkin, where I agreed and contracted to start writing the book the next day, we sat down and I wrote about 22 concepts that I wanted to include in the book if I was going to do this. I think three of them happened to find their way into the book, but not by my intention. I started writing, and after about 2 weeks, when it became quite obvious that I was serious about my commitment, an energy took over, and the entire book was a download. I had absolutely no real say as to where the book was going next. I was hanging on by my fingernails, and in fact, the book soon became an actual journal of my own journey. And what the character was going through, I was going through. Mm-hmm. There's one paragraph, and I don't talk about this much, but there was one paragraph where that deals with death, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how we view death and what death is, and the fact that unless we're willing to embrace death as an ally, we'll be overwhelmed by our outdated and heavy beliefs and concepts, and we will have no room to move forward. And within hours, the next day, I got a call from my urologist's office telling me that a biopsy came back. I had cancer.
Wow.
So I've just finished writing about death. The character goes through his version of death, as you recall.
Yes.
And I told now I'm now facing my own death. I mean, this really was life imitating art. And I had to face a new level of reality. Was I going to fold my tent, or was I going to trust and move forward? And then what the universe did to get rid of the cancer within 45 days is extraordinary, and a story and a book within itself.
Uh-huh. Can you give us a little, just a thumbnail? Was it prostate cancer?
Prostate cancer.
Okay. Because,
yeah.
I've got a blood test that gives your PSA level. Mine's a little elevated. It's enlarged, you know, so I'm going, you know, what do I do next? Do I want to do a biopsy? Do I want to do herbs? You know, so, and I know a lot of men are in this boat with us, you know. So,
what happened was extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
My wife, who's a naturopath, happened to be at a conference. She was away when I got the news. I did not want to share it with her. I needed to go through my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She found out about it through a doctor who I called, who called her. She contacted somebody who was working with non-local healing through a device called the QXCI program,
mm-hmm.
that works on a non-local, or as we talked about space-time and time-space before, this would be in time-space. The matrix, if you view us, for example, as a projection on a screen, and if you view allopathic medicine that goes in and cuts out the cancer as cutting away the portion of the screen that they don't like the projection on,
mm-hmm.
that is approach to cancer. The other approach is to go into the genetic coding, to go into the DNA, to go into the projector itself before it takes human form and change the matrix of that interference pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I came down with a cancer deliberately. Both my parents died of cancer. What a surprise that I would get it. Why did I choose it? I chose it to have this particular experience. I literally could see the three of us walking down a path, my mother and my father going off to the right and me walking off to the left. And they took their cancer with them, and then I looked into the future. I had no cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So using the QXCI, using something called low-level laser light therapies, using a bunch of things which are now in the back of the book,
mm-hmm,
that
right.
we talk about, some techniques that are completely weird,
mm-hmm.
Using symbols from the Kofutu that I came across that I should not have come across, that I now use every single day, using some herbal complexes that my wife put me on. And then 45 days later, I went up to Dr. Duke Bond up in Ventura that has the only machine in the world that he built with a client of his. And his client happens to be Mr. Hitachi.
Huh.
And it's a machine that does a very, very accurate ultrasound of the prostate that you can see on a television screen in front of you. I said, Jean-Claude, you didn't bring the biopsy. I'd have kicked you out of here 15 minutes ago. I can't find anything.
Wow, that's great. That's a great story. And I, you know, appreciate you putting that in the back of the book. Not so much the story, but these alternative remedial options, like the QXCI,
yes.
which I have experienced too. And now that you brought it up again, I might go back and see the guy here in Santa Fe who has one, just to deal with a prostate.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, what it can do. What happened was with using the QXCI, someone I'd never met. They had never met me. They found me in non-local space, and I know this sounds very weird to conventional listeners, located the cancer, asked me to put off my, I was going to have a spectroscopic MRI at the University of California in San Francisco, asked me to put it off for a couple of weeks. We spoke to each other every few days. He said, it looks like it's responding, and then 2 weeks later, he says, go ahead and have any tests you want. That's when I found Dr. Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, as far as I can see it, no longer responds to the cancer frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with curing. It has nothing to do with anything medical at all. What it does is it changes the programming, the interference patterns that are locked in the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dynamic way of looking at disease. Medicine looks at us as a biochemical model. If we would switch our thinking and view us as a bioelectrical model, we begin to understand consciousness. We begin to understand how the entire matrix is put together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, let's just review something here. I mean, you know, we could talk for quite a while here. I want to review something that you say early on here. Quote, unfortunately, our scientists are less than forthright under extreme pressure by their employers. They are refusing to share openly the grave fears that consume them behind closed door. A short list of irrefutable scientific facts speaks volumes. You talked about some of this earlier, about sunspot activity, earth changes, magnetic fields. We are heading into a new era for this planet. One of the larger suns in our solar system, on the remote fringes of what you point out, 125, let's see if I got this right, trillion galaxies. So I'm awed by all this. What do we need to do here, you know, in terms of resolution? You also talk about concepts of letting go and surrender. I think some of us have try to do these things, and we still get back into our ego persona and in the story, going deeper. Larry has many teachings around all these different aspects of personality or ego persona, and creating a shift to become the composer, the orchestra leader, as you say, to bring it all together so you can put these things in harmony while we go through these changes, as you said before, which says, am I going to go fourth density or third density in the shift, all right? So what are the mechanics of that, letting go?
The mechanics are to be able to create a sieve that moves you from the mind-brain to the heart-brain.
Mm-hmm.
So you start thinking with your heart and loving with your mind. We have it quite backwards here. We are mired by the great three, you know, the great three injunctions. Which the book talks about as well, and that comes from Brujoy, in fact. And that's the need to compare, the absolute desire to judge everything, and the overwhelming need to understand. And those three things keep us locked at the lower levels of our being. One of the great teachings of the book, if you recall, is delivered by a 2.5-foot raccoon in the form of a rap song.
Yeah, Rocky.
Rocky Raccoon, yeah, who does it in the form of a rap song, and you know, before he starts, desecrates the beautiful Indian ceremony medicine wheel, and teaches Larry that don't get so caught up in form that you lose concept of substance,
mm-hmm.
and to begin to see with the heart and begin to see how much all of your prejudices and your bias and your bigotry keep you anchored into the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to take another break here and pick up on what you're saying and close out one more conversation with you, if we can do that. And this you know, this breaking out of the illusion, if we can hold that concept and come back and talk some more.
Absolutely.